In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, June 7th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Christian university in Canada argued its case before the British Columbia Court of Appeals last week and the Toronto Court this week. Trinity Western University wants to retain its accreditation while holding to a biblical position on homosexuality. The university lost a lower court ruling last July. Decisions are expected sometime this fall. Apparently, God is protecting parental rights. After 7 months, the Benario children from Norway are on their way home. The children were removed from their parents' home in November of 2015 by the Norway Child Welfare Service over the Christian faith of the family. After months of protests and petitions, authorities have agreed to release the children back to their parents' custody. The Associated Press reports that violent crime is on the rise in major U.S. cities, and the experts cannot figure out why. It's stumping law enforcement officials. The first quarter of this year showed across-the-board increases in homicides, rapes, robberies, and aggravated assaults, as well as non-fatal shootings compared to 2015. We offer this explanation from James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Some experts are expecting another wave of interest in homeschooling from parents concerned about transgendered bathrooms and showers in their local schools. But it has not materialized yet. The executive director of the Southern Baptist Association of Christian Schools told the Baptist Press they have not seen an avalanche of people running through the door as of yet. Parents are not registering as much interest in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The Internal Revenue Service has finally released its list of targeted conservative organizations that were subjected to higher levels of scrutiny. A total of 426 organizations were included, mostly Tea Party and constitutional groups. No charges will be filed against the mother whose 3-year-old son climbed into the gorilla exhibit at the Cincinnati Zoo last week. The local prosecutor, Joe Dieter, said the mom was looking after her other 2 children when the boy slipped away. Dieter said he was thankful the zoo acted to preserve the life of the little boy.
There's parts of this that aren't on the tape, but the gorilla literally picked that boy up and carried him up a ladder to his encampment up there on top there, and had the little boy between his legs, and the decision was made.
The Miss USA beauty pageant has assigned the title to an Army Reserve officer, Deshawna Barber. She argued vigorously for incorporating women into combat roles, saying, quote, "We are just as tough as men. As a commander of my unit, I'm powerful," unquote. But the word tells the ladies, do not let your adornment be outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And husbands, likewise, give honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. 1 Peter 3, 3-7. Billy Graham has issued a warning in his organization's Decision magazine. He sees the days of Noah returning to the earth and, quote, "A catastrophe as great and terrible awaits those who refuse to enter into the ark of salvation, which is Jesus Christ," unquote. The evangelist clarified that he does not know whether the end of the world will be within 100 years or 1,000 years from now. Tropical Storm Colin is advancing towards Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. Florida Governor Rick Scott has called a state of emergency in preparation for high winds and flooding across the state. Who commands the storms? And they came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves. And they stopped, and it became calm. And his disciples were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Luke 8:24-25. And that's the worldview on this Tuesday, June 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we talk about the importance of Christian family elder care, again, on this edition of the program. Our interest is to restore relationships cross-generationally and to be sure that we have weaned ourselves off of dependence upon the government to solve all of our issues. And the revitalization of the family is going to be critical as socialism collapses, or at least socialism doesn't deliver on its promises. And I think that's the sort of thing we're going to see in the near future. Here's a website that gives us just a few stats on what's going to happen with the Social Security program. More than half of married couples and nearly three quarters of unmarried Americans get more than half of their retirement income from the Social Security program. And it turns out that almost half of unmarried recipients rely on Social Security far more than 90% of their retirement income. And do remember that retirees right now at 50 million in America, climbing to 80 million over the next 15 years. Friends, right now we're climbing the exponential curve even as we speak. So that's happening right now. America is moving from a 50 million to an 80 million retiree over the next 15 years. And, of course, the depletion of the Social Security Trust Fund will require an across-the-board 29% cut to Social Security benefits beginning in 2029. That's the estimation from the CBO right now. The Congressional Budget Office is saying those Social Security checks will be cut by 29% in 2029. What is that? Some 14 years off from now, a point at which 80 million retirees will be dependent upon Social Security. Well, the average Social Security check right now is at $1,300. That will drop to about $900. And remember, half of widows are dependent almost entirely upon that $900. Joining me right now to discuss some of this is Todd Strasser, Executive Director for the ChristianFamilyElderCare.com, a up-and-rising program that will be increasingly important over the next 15 years. Hopefully, folks are taking notes as we prepare for this major shift happening in our social system. Todd, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you with us again.
Thank you. Glad to be back. Great to talk about this.
What in the world are we going to do, Todd, when the Social Security check will be cut 29% to some $900? I can't imagine that the average widow will be able to afford a care facility, which averages some $3,000 a month. They can't afford it right now. They're not going to afford it 15 years from now. How do people make up for the excessive costs for these care facilities? How does that happen, seeing as their Social Security check is some $1,300 per month?
Yeah, $900 is not going to do it, Kevin. And I tell you, $3,000 for a care facility, that you were generous. That is on the low side.
Okay.
And so there's no way that's going to work. You know, thankfully, though, as we put some of these systems in place over the years, and now our reliance on them is, thankfully, it's sort of having to fade as they're kind of fading out. But you know, the Bible, God has presented solutions for this. And, mm-hmm. and really, the nice thing is we don't have to go very far to find them. We obviously just look around in our home and we'll see sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and extended family there. And I'm thankful that that the Bible talks specifically about widows. So the subject you were talking about, talked about widows several times, not only as a a role for the church, a role for the family to care for, but also for the church to care for as well.
You know, I think the church is going to have to step up. There's no doubt in my mind. And of course, the 29% cut on the Social Security check in 2029 assumes kind of a flat line on the economy, as if somehow we're going to sustain an economy that's already in $100 trillion in debt, at least on the federal level. And the millennial generation is certainly not, at this point, pulling their weight. It's just beyond me that they'll be able to handle the care for 80 million retiring baby boomers in the year 2035. So, you know, we're facing a real severe economic problem. The retirees are already looking at a 29% cut on their Social Security check by the year 2029.
Right.
It seems to me the only option will be a biblical option by the year 2029. The only option will be families doing their 1 Timothy chapter 5 responsibilities and the church stepping in as well for the widows that are widows in need, or indeed, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. So I think I think the churches are going to have to crack 1 Timothy chapter 5, check it out, and start working on plan B. And, you know, I guess what I'm encouraging people to do is start to think about finishing your basements. You know, if you're an elder, if you're a pastor in a church, think about finishing your basement. We already have a widow in our home right now. She's been in our home for the last week and a half. She may be here for a number of months. We don't know, but we're opening up our home to widows, and we hope that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other Christian families, Christian pastors, Christian deacons would do the very same thing over the next 15 to 20 years.
That's right. And, you know, really, really important. It, first of all, it is the only solution. I mean, when people have put their reliance and sort of staked their bets and retirements and living out their golden years, if you will, on Social Security, which is kind of drying up, the return of the biblical family, to care for this and the church is going to have to step in. It's the only solution. And just a couple things I wanted to mention and encourage our listeners in is one is, you know, the key and one of the reasons we call Christian Family Elder Care focusing on relationship-centered elder care is because relationships are going to be so important.
Yeah.
As families move in together, as mom or grandma or aunt, or as they move back in, we know that relationships is the key. So that's going to be, first of all, important. So just a call out to prepare for this season. This season is coming to all of us, whether we sort of, you know, want to or not. Some of us will have different things that God brings us in life, but we're all going to get old and have elders, relatives that are elderly. The second part I want to be up is I would encourage churches to prepare. Deacons, diaconates that are out there, pastors, elders, prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how your church is going to prepare this. And I know we have pastors call into us and say, wow, you know, we have kind of a church full of widows and widowers. What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it takes planning years ahead to know and to think about what we're going to do as churches to care as we've been called to do.
You know, I think a lot of people hit the panic switch when they find out government may fail them in 2029. But we got to remember that, you know, God trumps government and relationships trump Social Security. This idea that somehow these cold, distant government agencies, these institutionalized systems will save us, and they're always better than relationships. I just don't think the Word of God bears that out. In fact, here's a statistic I just picked off the internet from what looked like an official site where they had done a respectable survey. They found that nearly 90% of seniors want to stay in their own homes as they age, and this is referred to as aging in place. And, mm-hmm. and so what I'm thinking, now granted that is probably their own home, it's not their children's home or their grandchildren's home, but I think the point is that they want to live where they've always lived in relationship with their family. So, you know, if we get used to living in family together as families, if our elderly grandparents, you know, move in at 63 years of age, and then by the time they're 83, they're fairly comfortable where they're living. So I guess my encouragement is to find ways in which we can live together, and perhaps ways in which we can keep our elderly folk living in these comfortable homes. They appreciate living in these comfortable homes anyway. versus shipping them off to elderly care facilities where they're going to be, you know, slapped with a $4,000 a month charge. And when, you know, half of widows are almost entirely dependent on a $900 check per month, that's not going to work out too well for them if they're trying to work their way into an expensive retirement facility in the year 2029. So in other words, what I'm saying is, why don't we be a little proactive? Let's bring our elderly folk into our home perhaps early on, and then we don't have to worry about some of these more expensive options later on.
That's right. And one thing I'm really excited about, Kevin, is in Christian Family Elder Care, we are just putting the finishing touches on our video project. In that video project, we've interviewed numerous families that are at different stages in elder care. Three of those families have planned ahead. Their parents have moved in while they're completely healthy. But they know that the day is coming when maybe they're going to need some care. So it's great to establish the relationships, the family dynamics that shift when people move in, when everybody's healthy, when they're 65, when they're 70. And then as they age, they're ready. The relationships are intact. And so that transition is so much easier. They've made modifications to their homes. They've prepared for this in advance. And that's such a blessing to see, because really one of the keys to elder care and to caregiving is planning ahead. And so we want to encourage, we want to encourage families to do that.
That's Todd Strasser from ChristianFamilyElderCare.org. And friends, you can check it out on the internet for all of the resources. They've got MP3s, they've got books, they've got neat ways in which you yourselves can prepare for whatever God is calling your family to do in this very important aspect of the Christian life. Jesus calls us to relational living. Jesus calls us to sacrifice our lives for others. And certainly that involves the least of these and those that are most in need. And let's not just assume that we can toss all of our elderly off to the Social Security program to be taken care of at a rate of $900 a month. That's just not going to work out very well. So let's find ways in which we can incorporate the 1 Timothy 5 vision for our own families and for other elderly that may wind up in our neighborhoods or in our church communities. And friends, in just a moment, we're going to visit with Ben Perry, who's an architect, gearing families up to this vision. He's an architect who's taken on a special ministry to prepare families and to help them to prepare for bringing their elderly relatives into the home. He's an architect, and he will share some wisdom on this in just a moment. Hey, Todd, thanks for joining us on the Generations broadcast. Let's stay in touch. And this is a very important aspect of the ministry. We appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you very much. And let me just leave our listeners with one last thought from Proverbs. And David in Psalm 71 said, "Do not cast me off when I am old, but let me declare your righteousness to the next generation." I just want to encourage all listeners out there, there's an amazing opportunity to connect the generations and to gain wisdom from those that have gone before us in the faith. And so I'd encourage you to do that and to take hold of elder care with two hands for God's glory.
Thanks, Todd. In just a moment, Ben Perry joining us on the Generations broadcast. Stay tuned.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education Or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Today we have a very important segment of this program as we talk about, well, what Jesus considered to be very important. In fact, from the cross, he looked down upon his favorite disciple there and he said, "Behold your mother." And then he looked down to his mother and said, "Behold your son." Took the moment to care for his mother, which is really essential if you call yourself a Christian. It's a very important part of the Christian life. That's why Paul in 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if you're not going to care for your mothers and your grandmothers, you have denied the faith and you are worse than an unbeliever. So Paul considers this to be a very, very important topic. And if we can't get back to this topic from time to time, then we have no right to call ourselves Christian leaders in the Christian church or in Christian media. So it's vital that we come down on this issue and restore the idea of the family economy, restore the responsibility of the children to care for their parents. Jesus also impressed the importance of this on the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. It's the Pharisees that come up with the Social Security programs where they give people the impression that they have no responsibility henceforth to care for their parents in their old age. And of course, we live in a derelationalized, institutionalized age in which this is a lost concept. But we are bringing this thing back as best as we can. And Ben Perry is an architect, and he considers this to be an important element as well in his architectural work. And so I met him in Kansas City, what was it, about maybe 2 years ago, and he had this vision to equip parents, children for their parents, with this idea of adapting the home to care for the elderly. Very, very important stuff. And he's using his skills, his gifts that God has given to him to help the church, the wider church in this regard. So now Ben Perry joins me on the Generations broadcast. Ben, it's good to have you with us today. Welcome.
Kevin, thank you so much. It's a blessing to be here with you.
Well, it's so important. I think the church itself, Ben, needs to know the importance of this. In fact, the whole purpose for the diaconate in Acts 6 was to care for the elderly, the widows in the congregation. This was the focal point for the diaconate, largely lost today in the modern church. Do you agree?
I do indeed. I think it's very important for the church to reach out, not only because the Bible says so, which should be enough, but also because there's a watching world and sees how do Christians respond to their elderly relatives. How do they show the love of Christ?
Yes, yes. And, you know, this project you're working on is not just applicable to those of us who are trying to restore the biblical vision to care for our elderly parents, bring them into our homes, and take responsibility for them, especially when they're incapable of caring for themselves. But this applies to millions of other families and millions of elderly people who really do need a special care in the home. They have to have some architectural changes in their homes in order to accommodate their needs. And so, you know, this is affecting 80 million retiring baby boomers over the next 20 years. So effectively, this program is applicable to 80 million people and their children and their grandchildren. So we're hoping that many will pay attention to the architectural needs in the home for in that regard. You know, on the one hand, Ben, we want to bring the elderly into our homes, and we want to find ways to adapt our homes for that. But there are small, medium, and large changes architecturally that need to happen to the home in order to accommodate the elderly. Why don't you just give us a sense for why we need to adapt the home?
Sure. Kevin, my vision as an architect came from a desire to give families resources, practical resources, to either adjust in small ways to remodel or to build a completely new home, a new environment for the grands in their lives. My vision is called a grand homecoming, because I do believe that it is a grand thing that happens when a family is reunited. Especially with the in the twilight of the grandparent's life. And these changes that you mentioned are, you know, they can start very small changes like doors, removing doors to rooms that don't need privacy so it's easy to get out, and changing out door handles to knobs, from knobs to levers, providing a grasp. Mm-hmm. There are other small changes that you can make, replacing standard faucets on sinks with faucets that have large wrist blade handles, and adding grab bars to bathrooms, replacing toilets with a standard ADA height toilet. Mm-hmm. And certainly putting things that are dangerous, like prescription drugs, in an unreachable place. Mm-hmm. So you can help your grandparent at that time. Yeah. Another thing is just to repaint walls, corners with contrasting colors. Sometimes there's not a high ability to see with advancing age. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to lighting, putting certain lights on dimmers or nighttime lights in restrooms so that you can have a well-lit path from a bedroom to a hallway to a bathroom at night.
These are things that average, ordinary folks can probably take care of themselves. They probably don't have to hire a contractor to do some of these small modifications.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll take some time. You have to, you know, apply 3, 4, 5 Saturdays in order to do this, but you can accommodate your elderly relatives. There are some more advanced or medium level changes that you might recommend as well. What would some of those be?
Well, Kevin, a medium type change would be to remodel an entire restroom, a bathroom, to make it ADA accessible, or to build a ramp that's in the front and back of your house so that you don't have to go up steps.
Yeah.
Looking at your flooring in the kitchen and bathroom and the bedroom to replace it with slip resistant and glare resistant flooring. Replacing carpet that's really shaggy with a low pile type of carpet so it's less of a tripping hazard. Mm-hmm. Even putting automatic door openers on doors so that those aren't obstacles is really important. So mm-hmm. those are medium type changes that can be in the neighborhood of $500 to a couple thousand dollars if you go for all those. But still, it's not a significant remodel. It's just a slight remodel to a home.
One of the things that we're encouraging more and more is that instead of shuffling trillions of dollars of inheritance over to institutions and government-run operations, why not children care for their parents and the parents turn an inheritance over to their children? That has more of a biblical ring to it. And hopefully more and more families are thinking in these terms. So, you know, my recommendation is that if at all possible, we find ways in which families can cross generations, perhaps live together, and provide some adaptations to their homes in order to accommodate their aging relatives. Here we can, you know, restore relationships across generations. And my sense of it is we'll find that this will be much more fruitful in raising each successive generation if there is something of a generational connection going on and relationships are restored across generations. This has been our vision for our Christian Family Elder Care.org ministry. It's been a part of the Generations program for about 3 years now. It's a Christian Family ElderCare.org. And of course, we have all of our MP3s, our books that we have published, and lots of resources to equip families to this. But now Ben Perry has brought together some architectural elements of this where we can equip families now to prepare their homes for this. You've also got this more advanced or significant large changes that may happen to the home, and that would involve building, you know, new rooms and new additions to the home. There are a lot of families doing this. There's got to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of families across America that have done something like this, Ben. What would you suggest when it comes to sort of high-level adaptations to the home to accommodate our elderly grandparents?
Well, that's a great question, Kevin. It often depends on the house that you live in and your land to see if you can expand. It depends upon just the configuration of your house, if it's possible to repurpose one room into another room. I've seen garages changed into living quarters. I've seen other outbuildings on land turned into living quarters. But I think the biggest thing is when you make a large change, it's really important to get an architect involved who can look at the building codes, who can understand how the house goes together. And most importantly, an architect like myself that has a heart and a vision to help families to move in together, to care for one another. I think it's vitally important to have a professional who understands building codes and public safety and all the rest there. And a contractor, of course, to go with that you trust, that can work well with the architect to get a project done, you know, under budget and in the right amount of time that you want. It can be very costly to do a building project, so it's very important to have an architect that you can trust.
Hmm. That's part of the vision for your Perry Architecture organization. That's perryarch.net on the web, perryarch.net, if anybody would like to get into contact with Ben Perry. But you would really like to more and more accommodate families and help families to adapt their homes to this end. I guess that's part of the vision for your ministry, right?
Yes, Kevin, it certainly is. I have one surviving parent, my mom. She has been invited many times to come live with us, and she's been resistant to do that. You know, there's a lot of reasons why parents don't want to do that, but
sure.
You know, I think persistence and prayer and just simply the love of Christ, making it clear to, you know, you raised me in my youth and you took care of me, and I feel now it's just appropriate to not have you go to an institution where you don't know anyone, but instead to come home and live with us and let us take care of you as you took care of us. That's definitely the heart of my ministry, and I want to use my God-given abilities, however the Lord leads, for families who have the same vision.
So, folks, I'd like to give that URL one more time to anybody interested in contacting Ben Perry. He's got a vision to support families who are in the middle of this transition, bringing mom home, bringing grandma home, bringing grandpa into the home. And here's his website, perryarch.net. That's Ben Perry's architectural website, perryarch.net, for folks who'd like to be in contact with Ben. Ben, thanks for sharing a piece of the vision today on this Generations broadcast. We appreciate what you're doing here.
Thank you, Kevin. God bless your ministry. It's an encouragement to me and my family.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.